You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. How can blind and partially sighted people get a good night's rest? Well, we're joined today by Sleep Charity CEO, Vicky Beavers, to learn some evidence-based tips. Hi, Vicky.
Hi there.
Can you tell us about the Sleep Charity and what you do?
Absolutely. So I set the charity up back in 2012, and I set it up because I was once chronically sleep deprived. So my eldest son has some visual difficulties, which I didn't link to his sleep issues, to be honest, at the time. And it was my desperation for sleep and sleep support that made me obsessed by sleep and really interested in researching sleep and trying to understand what can help people to sleep better. And what's happened is the charity's evolved over time. It's grown significantly. And we offer information for people who have sleep issues. So we offer like a national sleep helpline. We offer sleep clinics for children in certain areas. We also offer training for practitioners. We are involved in lots of research projects, and we campaign to raise awareness about the importance of sleep because it doesn't get the attention that it deserves and needs.
Why is it so important that we get good quality sleep?
Well, there's lots of research out there that shows us the devastating impact that sleep deprivation can have on us. If we're going to be brutal, then sleep deprivation is used as a form of torture because it's extremely effective. So it can impact on every part of our lives. So the way that we look, the way that we feel, our physical health, our mental health, our emotional well-being. I prefer to sort of flip it and think about the positives that a good night's sleep can bring us. So, you know, it can help us to feel better, to look better. So there is such a thing as beauty sleep. You know, we look better when we're well rested. It could help us with things like our hormones to be better regulated, so we stay a healthier weight. We feel happier. We feel more able to tolerate difficult situations, difficult people, to socialize, all those kind of things. So sleep really can be our superpower and our best friend if we're getting it right.
And what kind of length of sleep and type of sleep should we be aiming for?
Do you know, it's a real tricky question because people often want to know, are they having enough sleep? And it's such an individual thing. And I think as soon as we start to become concerned about the number of hours sleep we have, we start to get sleep anxious. So people read things that say you've got to have, say, a minimum of 7 hours sleep a night. And somebody may think, actually, I'm only getting six, but I feel okay. But I need to try and force myself to get seven. And the key message is we can't force sleep. You know, you cannot make yourself go to sleep. Although we often tell children to try to get to sleep, but you can't do it. And we spend a lot of time in our lives trying to force sleep when we're not actually ready to go to sleep. So we need to start to think about it as a real individual thing. And we know if we're getting enough sleep by how we feel. So do we feel okay in the daytime? Are we feeling sleep deprived? Is it hard to get up in the morning? That can be another symptom. So when we get into bed, are we sort of falling asleep within sort of 15 minutes, or is it taking several hours? So thinking about all these things are important. And in terms of like the different stages of sleep, it's really important that we do enter all the different stages because we have sort of very light sleep during the night. So people have probably heard of rapid eye movement sleep, REM sleep. This is the sleep where we have the dreams, and it's really important in terms of our cognitive ability, in terms of things like consolidating learning from the daytime. But also we need our deep sleep, which we tend to get at the start of the night. And this is where things like hormones are released that help us to maintain a healthy appetite. So all types of sleep are important, and it's really key that we go through these sleep cycles so that we are able to wake up feeling refreshed and our bodies are able to cope with the day ahead.
And there are some common pieces of advice that people are given on how to set yourself up for a good night's sleep. Can using sort of social media and devices prevent you getting good sleep?
I think what's really important is understanding some of the science behind sleep. So the reason that this advice is given is really twofold. So first of all, Our bodies rely on signals of light and dark in order to produce the sleep hormones. So when it becomes dark, we produce something called melatonin. And this helps us to feel drowsy and to go to sleep more easily. And if people have got blindness, for example, they may not be getting these sort of signals about the light and dark, and therefore they may need a prescription of melatonin in order to sort of pin their body clocks. If people have got sort of partial sight and they are using things like screens, so I'm thinking particularly around my son, he would use screens and he would actually find the light from it stimulating. So particularly using them at night time, we know that if we are exposed to that kind of light, it can trick our bodies into thinking, whoa, it's daytime, so let's wake up. The other thing about screens and social media, aside from the light dark scenario, is that they're really stimulating. So if we are, engaging in social media, it can be hard to switch off, just like if we're engaging in a TV program, things like the news, it can be really hard to switch off mentally from that. It's not the most relaxing of activities to be doing on that wind down to bedtime.
What are some non-visual focus techniques that we can use to wind down before we go to sleep?
It's around thinking about what individuals find relaxing. So it may be that it could be listening to certain music is relaxing, or I don't know, poetry or an audio type of book. What we want to do is to start to relax people. So we want to avoid things like high energy activities, because those kind of activities, well, it's good to exercise. If we do it in the lead up to bedtime, it changes our body temperature. It also sort of releases all those feel good hormones, which make us feel stimulated rather than relaxed. It may be that we look at things like meal times as well and consider whether we put a supper time in there. It may be that people enjoy a bath, which is a really nice, relaxing activity for some people. Other people hate it. And I'm thinking again about my son with his visual issues. He found bath time really distressing as a child, yet I believed I was doing the right thing by giving him a bath, but he felt really disorientated in that environment and afraid. So it's thinking very personally about what is a nice, relaxing thing to do in that lead up to bedtime that can help us to feel less stressed and prepare our bodies and give us the signal that actually sleep time's coming. The key thing is around routine and having the same thing at the same time each night, because this helps to support our circadian rhythm, so our natural body clock, which can go off track if we don't have the right cues in place to pin it, because it doesn't run precisely on a 24-hour cycle. So the key is to get routine, to get sameness. An important thing to note as well is that sometimes complete darkness can be disorientating, particularly if there is some sort of vision loss, because you can't orientate yourself in that complete darkness. This is the same for people who have hearing impairments as well. And again, something that I'd not realized. You read a lot of information about it's important to have darkness in the bedroom, but too much of it can feel disorientating for people who have got a vision loss. So it's okay to have a dim light that can be safely left on during the night, as long as it's consistent. Because what happens is, if we go to sleep in an environment, for example, where there is a dim light on and we time it to switch off, we come to points of what we call partial awakening, and these are completely normal, and you kind of wake up, but you may not remember it unless something's changed. And if you suddenly find yourself in darkness, that's likely to cause you to wake up in the night. So if you fall asleep with the TV on and then you have a timer switch on it for it to go off, you're likely to wake up because the sound's gone and things are different. So we want consistency in the bedroom. Some people may listen to this and go, well, I fall asleep with, I don't know, a white noise machine, for example. Lots of people find those helpful, and that switches off and I don't wake till the morning. Well, that's great then, don't change anything. But if you're going to sleep with some sound on, it's turning off, and you're waking maybe every hour and a half, you can consider that it could well be because the conditions have changed and you may need to either wean yourself off using whatever product it is, or it may be that you need to ensure that it's consistently on all the way through the night. And you mentioned smells as well. And again, it's real personal stuff. So some people are sort of really sensitive to smell and can't stand smells in the bedroom. Others can find it really relaxing and comforting. And it can help in terms of signaling to our bodies, right? I know that when I smell this particular scent, bedtime's coming, this is relaxing, and just be part of the whole sensory routine that we build up. So again, it's very, very personal. It's up to the individuals, but some people find it helpful, others will find it overstimulating and not at all helpful. So there's not kind of a top five tip that we can give people. It's more thinking about it from an individual point of view and what is helpful to you individually.
And where can people get more information about the sleep charity and learn about some of the research and resources you have?
Yep, so we have got lots of information on our website, which is www.thesleepcharity.org.uk. And we've also got our National Sleep Helpline, which is available Mondays, Tuesdays, Thursday evenings, and Monday and Wednesday mornings. And the telephone number is 03303 530541.
Well, thank you so much, Vicky Beavers, Sleep Charity CEO, for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
You're welcome. Thanks for speaking to me.
This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.